Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to the voice behind the show for actors who are heard but not seen. And this week we got a very special guest, Ada Wong herself, although she goes by several other names. The most important one, of course, being Courtney Taylor. Miss Taylor, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're happy to have you. You're a very busy person, so it was a little tricky to find a good time for you.
Yeah, it goes in waves. It depends. It depends on the week, really. But
is this a particularly busy week for you, or are you just this is kind of standard?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It kind of goes day to day. Things slowed down a little the last 2 days. Sometimes, you know, I'm running around like a mad thing, and then other times when I should be enjoying that I'm not running around like a mad thing, I'm sitting there crying that I'm not running around. So. You know, we always want what we can't have.
Does voiceover, especially with animated shows, do they have seasons, or is it pretty much kind of steady throughout? I mean, you do a lot of video games, and I would imagine that's a little more evened out over the year.
I have not had the pleasure of doing that much as far as animated shows go. We just wrapped a regular show on Cartoon Network. And so they do have seasons, you know, so they don't, generally most shows don't go year round. I don't know, at least to my knowledge, I have more experience with, you know, on camera television shows, but I think everybody has a season and then they get to rest. Video games are, I think it seems to me like they're all the time, but
So how did you get started, and were you interested in acting or voice acting in particular as a young person?
I didn't know what voiceover was. I was actually I attended the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, and I thought I would be doing on camera, and I applied for a master's program to a school in New York, and at the time I was running a boxing gym and teaching a lot of fitness classes, and our microphones were not reliable, so I had some pretty bad vocal cord nodes. So when I went to audition to my classic and contemporary monologues for this gentleman, he told me he wouldn't consider my application unless I had my vocal cord nodes removed. So I went back to my voice and speech teacher, and she said she thought I had a good voice, and so she referred me to a voiceover class, and that was really the first time I knew what it was. I had been singing jingles and, you know, sitting at home like little kids do, you know, revoicing commercials and, you know, bothering my sister by saying them over and over again, but I didn't know, it didn't occur to me that that's what you could do for a living until I was, you know, far, far more into acting later.
That's actually kind of interesting. You'd think vocal cord nodes would get people out of the business, but it got you into the business.
Well, I always had, you know, a sort of a textured voice and a little bit deep. I remember somebody asking me, like, are you a boy or a girl? Some old lady who couldn't see very well. And I was like, I'm a girl. But I'm sure I sounded like a little boy to her because I've always had a pretty deep voice. I did do some speech therapy because my voice was not in good shape as far as being consistent and being able to sustain, you know, long sessions. But the quality of my voice never changed. It's never going to be, you know, a Juliet kind of voice, but I don't think I was ever going to play Juliet anyway, so...
Well, I was actually thinking about that because a lot of the characters that you play, they're kind of these take charge people, not often very nice, depending on the character. I mean, the big ones, of course, being Ada Wong, which I mentioned from the Resident Evil series, but also Jack from Mass Effect, and I think I don't know if it's necessarily a lesser known part, but I think among a certain, it's a little more niche, Shira from Diablo. It's not a main character, but it's one that has actually continued through several of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, how much of that is your personality? How much of that comes from your voice? Like, are you as kind of upfront with people as some of these characters are? I would imagine you're not as bad as Jack.
I guess it depends on the day. I think my voice lends itself to be, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, play more princesses, I think there are other women out there who are sort of, their voices naturally lend themselves to those things. I do think it's a combination of the sound of my voice and my personality. I am pretty forthright. If any of my friends are listening to this, they are laughing, I'm sure. I'm kind of a little bit of both. Like, I think I am kind of in your face sometimes, but then also extremely sensitive. I'm a Cancer. So my nickname used to be the Stay Puff Marshmallow Crab because I had the hard shell and the gooey soft inside. So I feel like I'm really actually sensitive, but I don't get to play those parts as much as probably what kind of people would associate up front.
And you've actually done a small amount, or actually probably more than a small amount of on-camera work.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we've heard from other guests that do both, either currently or at one time they've done both, one thing that interested them about voice acting was the fact that it's harder to typecast people in voice acting just because you're not as limited by your physical appearance. As someone that does both and still kind of gets the same kind of roles, do you see a big difference in how that works, or is that not your experience?
Well, my experience with on camera has been that I generally play I've been sort of typecast into the same, not the same roles. I don't play military on camera, but, you know, sort of tough chicks, play a lot of hookers and, you know, chicks that'll tell you off and sassy people. But I think, you know, I think that was a little bit of my kind of go-to thing when I started acting. And now that I've been doing it for a while longer, it's easier to kind of peel away the layers and be able to play some different characters that aren't maybe so beat down. But that was definitely sort of my entree into on-camera stuff. I don't know. I guess maybe I feel like a lot of the time people's voice, acting is acting whether or not you can see me. And so those things that make up your core are sort of apparent, I think. I can't imagine an example of somebody who, you know, plays badass cops on television and then plays Disney princesses in voiceover. I'm sure they exist, but my experience has been pretty much that my essence is my essence and that that's what I lead with. And there's definitely, as I get more established and more experienced, I'm getting the opportunity both on camera and in voiceover to play things that I wouldn't necessarily, you know, have done at the beginning of my career. I have played fairies and stuff like that. I played Arwen in one of the Lord of the Rings games and stuff like that. So I really do enjoy getting to kind of stretch a bit. And I do think it's easier and people are more interested in it seeing you stretch in voiceover than they are on camera wise. That's not to say it's an absolute rule, but, you know, it's sort of the path of least resistance, I think.
That makes sense. Yeah. Of the three main characters, or you can throw in a fourth one if the answer's works better for you. Of the three main people that you've played, Ada, Wong, again, Jack, and Ashira, which do you think would you'd want to hang out with the most? Because I imagine it'd be an interesting scene regardless of who you picked.
Well, what am I doing when we're hanging out?
It's up to you. They're buddies of yours, and they're just like, let's hang out. What do you what? Yeah, that there's another question. What do you want to do, and then how do you think that would work?
Well, they each have like strengths that would be really interesting to have conversations with them about. Obviously, you know, I think I'd probably, I don't know, I might regret it, but I'd probably want to go drinking with Jack. And then, I mean, Ashira is pretty cool. She's really smart. And I think, if I were planning on doing any kind of, logistics, maneuvering, things like that, you know, she's very organized, and so I think she would be good. I mean, I'd have them, if I had a squad, I'd have all of them, and I would definitely take Ada clothes shopping because got some good clothes. But you know, they each have something really interesting to offer, and they also have things that, you know, I might not, you know, want to hang out with them all the time, just like anybody in real life. So I think probably I'd be most curious to hang out with Jack, to see, you know, because she's sort of had this huge arc, to kind of see where she is now. But yeah, I'd hang out with any one of them anytime.
With all those three characters, you were coming into a series at about the midpoint. You weren't one of the original characters. I believe I'm a little shaky on my Resident Evil mythology.
No, you're very right. You're very right. That's correct.
Was there ever any, like, what was that like going into those huge series? Like, all three of those series are major series for gamers. Was there any sort of, maybe not trepidation is the right word, but was there anything that you were thinking about just because of the fact they were bigger series, or were they just kind of roles that you were coming into and that was enough for you?
You know, it's funny. I guess I was sort of naive, but it never occurred to me. I mean, Jack was a standalone character that started in Mass Effect 2, so I wasn't taking her over from anyone. So it was just for me, like, coming into any, you know, coming into any on-camera situation where if I was coming in to do a role on a television show that wasn't a series regular, you're kind of always walking into a new set. So that was how I looked at Jack, was I was just coming onto a new set, excuse me, but I was bringing a character that hadn't been done before. So I just wanted to, you know, bring my best version of Jack. And then I think that was the same with Ashira. And I wasn't really familiar with that franchise. So I was just happy to be on along the ride with the people that were doing that game, because I had worked with them before and they're terrific. And then for Ada Wong, I don't think I just grasped the enormity of that franchise. Looking back now, I was nervous to take over for someone who is, you know, really popular and did an amazing job with her. But at the time, I think I was more concentrating on like the technical stuff that they were asking me to do. And I knew that I was going to have somebody directing me who I really liked and trusted, and, you know, we had kind of instant rapport. So I didn't feel stressed too much about anything, taking those things on. I think now that I know more about games, because I started working on Jack, I guess, in like 2009, I'd probably be a little more nervous now that I understand the whole Mass Effect universe a little bit better.
All three of those characters, they're very serious and in serious situations and serious games. Was there ever, either with those ones or any of the other things that you've done, just a moment where either the kind of, I don't want to say ridiculousness, but just something kind of came over you and you just got the fit of the giggles, and you've completely diverged from the theme of what you're working on?
Oh my gosh, that happens all the time. I mean, in games, because it's such a small community, I work with people that I know very well all the time. I mean, I was working on something last week, and even, you know, the engineers you work with over and over again. So they know you, they make fun of you. I can't think of like a particular thing. Well, I guess, you know what? I was supposed to sing on a video game and I'm a terrible singer and they made me sing anyway. And so I'm still living that down every time I go into this particular engineer who I work with pretty often on a couple of different games that we're doing. You know, he's still making wisecracks about it. But there's never like, it's just like any other workplace. It just, you're just doing it behind the glass. But I'm always, I work on regular show and it is hysterical. I can't believe that it takes us, you know, that we get through things as fast as we do. I mean, it's an 11-minute show. So it makes sense because there is a lot of jokes and stand-up comedians and people topping each other and silliness that happens. So it's pretty much a weekly occurrence.
So going to the regular show, because you're a recurring character on that.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, there's a lot of performers, a lot of stand-up comics, and it's a short show. How much of that show changes from the script to once it's done, in terms of how much of all of the goofing off, for lack of a better word, goofing off, how much of that kind of translates into the show, or is it more of just an attitudinal kind of thing?
I don't think it's not. Shockingly, they don't take all of our amazing one-liners and put them in because they've been storyboarded. So, you know, coming in later in the process, they're not going to, even though we are all hilarious in our own right, they're not going to, disrupt the flow, I think, for our hilarity, because we'll make more. But it is attitudinally, it's pretty awesome. There's some pretty funny people that work on that show, and I am totally thrilled every time I get to, you know, get the pleasure of coming in and doing some guest stuff with them. It's, I just walk out of there with a huge smile on my face. They're some of the most talented people and some of the funniest people. They're just, yeah. I'll leave it at that.
That works. No in jokes you want to just sneak in there? Or maybe you've already done it and I just don't know.
It's funny that, people that play the serious roles are like Roger Craig Smith comes in and does some stuff as well, and he's Batman.
Yep, we've actually had him on the show. So.
He's like Mr. and he's hilarious, and he's obsessed with keychains. So like, it's hard to sort of bring the two things together. I see all the promo stuff for Batman. I know all the great stuff that, you know, I know he's Enzo. Like, you know, my nephews are crazy for these characters that he's done. And then he comes in and gives me some random glittery keychain that he picked up from, you know, Oakland Airport that has like fake diamonds in it. And he's just hilarious and bizarre. And, you know, everybody's got their little quirks on that show. I wish that we were able to do more group recording in video games, because also, you know, a lot of people that work in animation cross over into video games. I mean, it is a funny bunch. It is a very funny bunch.
And you'd figure they would do that more just because it seems cheaper. I don't know why. It would seem to be cheaper to get everyone in the room together. But
I think it's a matter of logistics. There's a lot of people, you know, it's a lot of moving parts. With a lot of us doing other projects and, you know, to get 4-hour blocks of people together on the same day. They do that in animation all the time, but it may have something to do with actually getting work done. They may be taking a better approach because it may be cheaper to actually just have each one of us come in and do it and leave. I did a video game where we did group reads and it was hilarious, but it was slow going. So I don't know. You'll have to ask them what the best way to approach it is. But when we do get to do those group reads or even partner reads, it's really fantastic. I started a video game. Unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere. But with Troy Baker and Matt Mercer, and they probably were just like, "Oh my God, we'll never get through these sessions. Forget it."
We got a quick listener question as long as we're talking about video games here. This person is a big fan of Disney Infinity. And you're credited, but it doesn't say what character you were. So he wanted to know, who did you play in Disney Infinity?
You know, they were so nice. They just brought me in to play some like little utility characters. I didn't even get to see, you know, what they looked like or anything. They actually gave me some stuff to chew on that was totally out of my wheelhouse. They gave me really cute little. I know I play some cute little Lego character. And that's all I know. They asked me just to do a lot of, you know, sound effects, cute sound effects, which I was thrilled to be able to do. It's definitely past my typecasting. And so I have a crazy French bulldog, English bulldog mix that if you hang out with me on Twitter, you may have seen pictures of her, but she sounds kind of like a piglet. And so I used her for my inspiration. And so somewhere in that game, there's some piggy, snorty, cutesy little voices that are me, but I have no idea where they are.
Would that technically make her Belgian? If she's French and English? Is that,
you know,
I don't know how that works.
It makes her very confused whenever we talk about World War II. That's what it does.
That makes sense. That makes sense, yeah.
I see Maginot line and she freaks out.
And there you go, kids, the first Maginot line reference and the voice behind.
Exactly.
Hopefully not the last, but you know, we'll see what happens. we've mentioned a couple times you're doing live action now, or you're doing more live action now. You're on a show that debuts fairly soon, or your episode comes on fairly soon here, if I remember right. Or am I crazy?
You're talking about Criminal Minds?
Yes. Yeah, you're doing an episode of Criminal Minds. Yep.
It's very small part. It's kind of gotten like, I think I made a joke about having a love scene with Shamar Moore and now people are watching. That's totally not it. It's a very small role. If you get up and grab a drink, you'll miss it. But I believe it's coming on this Tuesday, the 23rd.
Okay.
And it is a scene with Shamar Moore, but it is not a love scene.
Not a love scene. In your mind, maybe.
You know, he's very attractive. I will say he is almost too perfect. It kind of freaks me out a little.
He's one of those guys, and I actually, you mentioned Troy Baker earlier. I kind of put him in the same boat where it's like, like you have to strangle puppies or something. Like there's got to be something wrong with you that balances everything else out.
Well, I think, you know, here's the thing. Like, I feel like Troy Baker is this like he's the whole package. He's super stylish guy. You know, he's sartorially got it going on. And I feel like Shamar Moore is one of those people. I've actually sort of known him vaguely for quite some time. And he's just one of those people that you look at and you go, wow, your parents must just get up in the morning and high five each other and be like, we did that. We're awesome. You know, each one of them has their own beauty.
That's very diplomatic.
It is. It's so hard to choose. It's like choosing ice cream flavors, really. I love them all.
Yeah, I can understand. And not only do we have the first reference to the Maginot Line and voice behind history, but this is also the first time I've just talked about men with people. again, it's a show of firsts. You've done a Resident Evil fan film. You did some live action work for that. Have you thought about doing any other fan films for any of the other series that you've done, like a Mass Effect? I know there was a Mass Effect fan film.
You know what? I don't know what that is.
You don't?
I have no idea what that is.
The internet lied to me again.
Yeah, you know what? Everyone's like, oh, you know, Wiki and IMDb, it's all up to date, it's all real. I'm like, kids, I have no idea what that is.
No idea what that is. Would you do a fan film if something was presented to you, or even not even a fan film, just a live action, if you're doing a live action Resident Evil, they've done a few of those, but if you were asked to do one, or if they do a Mass Effect film, would you jump on that?
Like, I mean, yeah, I love doing on-camera work, and so I would be thrilled to, you know, to entertain the idea. I don't know, the thing with doing stuff that is is already a franchise, you know, that if you've done voices for them, you want to make sure that everyone's happy that you're doing it. But absolutely, I mean, if all systems were go, I'll do a Mass Effect play. I'll do a Resident Evil, you know, puppet show. But it just has to be the right time, and there, you know, it has to just fit into the schedule. You know, I don't say no to anything in the future. You know, I would never say I would not entertain something. I can't say yes, I would definitely do it. You know, but I would, any opportunity that comes my way, I'll definitely take a look at it and do my best if it's something that's good. Yeah. I mean, God, who wouldn't want to do like a Resident Evil film?
They do make a little bit of money, so that is helpful.
They, you know, anything where I get to like run around and shoot people and be tough, and you know, it depends on the role too. Like, I don't necessarily get to play the people that I voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me play like a bank teller.
Do you think if offered, you could get into Jack shape to play her in a movie?
Oh, if do I think I could?
You could, yes.
Like, oh, for sure. I'm super down with. There's nothing. When I was younger, I didn't understand how the military worked. And I was like, you know, I would like to sign up so I could go through boot camp because I know that I would excel at this. And everyone was like, just so you know, they don't actually let you leave after boot camp. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll just run a boxing gym instead. But yeah, I have boxed. I have kickboxed. I'm tiny, like not super small, but I'm on the smaller side, but I'm pretty scrappy. I can do it.
That fits Jack. I think
and
that
I would
works.
Love to blow stuff up and run around. And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate to me that I haven't had the chance to do more of that on camera. I always loved the Terminator scene with what's her name doing the pull-ups.
Linda Carter. No, Linda Hamilton. Yes, you're right. Not Linda Carter.
Just doing that, I was just like, oh, and G.I. Jane and all that stuff. I would love to be able to book a role where I would actually have to get into killer shape.
Nice.
That hasn't happened yet, so I'm just doing voiceover and eating pie, but someday that'd be okay.
Hey, that sounds like a dream job to me, but that, I'm weird like that. One last thing before we do the standard questions. And I'm bringing this up only because I just watched it maybe a week ago. You were in Rubber.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, was that as odd to shoot as it was to watch? Because I like to think of myself as a fairly experimental guy as far as movies are concerned, but that was one of the strangest things I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it was, you know, I've done some weird projects, so that stuff doesn't really faze me too much. It was interesting because a lot of the above the line people were French. And so there was a lot of sort of not knowing what was going on to me because I don't speak. My French is very rudimentary. It was actually one of my favorite experiences. I had a great time. Those guys, like there were some dudes from Oz in that cast. And they were great. And I had one of the guys just kind of, you know, we ended up hanging out. We had a great time running around in the desert with, you know, guns and in uniform and stuff. So I think it was probably weirder to see the whole thing all together. It is very sort of odd movie. But for me, that little chunk that I did was like super duper. I really enjoyed myself and I got to hang out with guys who are really great actors. So it was all amazing to me. And there was fake blood and, you know, I love all that stuff. The gore and the, you know, I wasn't wild about the tight beige sheriff's uniform, I will say. And it is hard to run around. Like, it gave me renewed respect for anybody that has to wear one of those gun belts because they are super heavy. And mine was falling down a lot. You know, and there's a lot of stuff on it, but yeah, it was, I loved it. I had a great time. I would do it again. I would work with Mr. Wazoo again anytime.
Well, very good. I've heard rumors that they were going to do something. I don't know if it was a direct sequel, but I'd heard rumors of them doing something. So hopefully that'll work out for you.
They did do a sequel. I actually was, I had a scheduling issue with one of his follow-up projects that I was supposed to do. Okay. So, you know, he's quite prolific. So if you liked Rubber, if you like weird stuff, I know he's got a couple more things that have just come out.
Nice, nice. Well, what do you got that's coming out? I mean, I'm sure that there's at least nothing announced as far as new Mass Effect games or Diablo things. But the Diablo just did come out on PlayStation, so that's awesome.
Correct. People can enjoy.
What do you got coming up that people that you can talk about?
I have Wildstar coming out.
Oh, excellent.
So that's a large cast with a bunch of great people. So if you are a fan of voice actors in general and someone who actually likes to see who's playing what, I believe that there's quite a few people that most people enjoy that will be on that project as well. I have a project from Electronic Arts called Dawngate coming out. It's still in closed beta testing, I believe, but it's coming. Electronic Arts project just got the okay to announce that I'm doing some stuff for them. See, we just wrapped up. We're waiting to see if we get another season of regular show. I say we, like I'm on it all the time. I'm not, but you know.
I think if you're on it more than once, that qualifies.
Okay, then definitely. We are waiting to see. And then the Criminal Minds thing is out, and I think that's kind of what I got that I can talk about, but I'm working on, got 4 or 5 games in the hopper that are pretty awesome. So if you want to join me on my Facebook page, please feel free. I also am on Twitter a lot at Courtney Taylor. And those are the two places that as soon as I can talk about stuff, I'll talk about it. I'll tell you as much as I can.
Excellent. And we're kind of we're pretty much over for the con season for the year, but do you have anything planned for 2014?
I do. I just got an invitation. I don't know if I can say because it's not confirmed yet, so I probably shouldn't, but I'm hoping to be attending more cons. This year I went to a couple, but I just started working with a company called Talent for Conventions at talentforcons.com, and they are lighting some stuff up for me. So again, those two places is where I will let people know as soon as I can confirm that I'll be there. I'll let you know.
Awesome. And we'll have links to your Facebook page as well as your Twitter account in the show notes for the show. So if you want to follow her, that's the best way to do it. You've also got a website, CourtneyTaylor.com.
It's true, and I spell my names oddly.
Yes.
Fancy. It's Courtney Taylor. So it's really fancy because my mom, I think, had been in labor for a long time when she filled out my birth certificate. But it's spelled CourtenAy. No K, not a Kardashian.
No K.
No K. Oh,
wow. That's okay, I guess.
Yes, it is.
And one final question, another listener question. Thomas wants to know which series has the crazier fans, Resident Evil or Mass Effect?
Crazier?
Just maybe most intense. We'll say that, most intense.
God, that's a tough one. I feel like I have noticed that Brazilian Resident Evil fans are very enthusiastic.
That seems unusually specific.
I know, right? But if you're a Brazilian Resident Evil fan, I noticed that you guys are united in your love for Resident Evil. There's a huge fan base in Brazil for Resident Evil. If somebody can answer me the question of why Brazil in particular, please do, because I have no idea. But I've seen the most intense fan art that I have seen comes from a Mass Effect fan who did a 6-foot-tall, some sort of paper mache version of Jack that you can see on DeviantArt. He she's life size with like real hair and plays, you can play an iPod through her. And I think she has lights, like she lights up or something, but she's literally 6 feet tall. And it took him like 4 months to make her. So he gets the prize for like most insane fan art. But as a group, I think the Brazilian Resident Evil fans are on it.
Well, all right. Well, I'll make sure to translate the show notes into Portuguese. I think that will definitely help.
Or they'll do it for you.
Yeah, there is that too. I'm very lazy, so if any Brazilian fans are listening, I'm willing to accept free labor as far as that is concerned. Anyway, Courtney, again, you can check out her website, CourtneyTaylor.com, spelled funny, but all that will be in the show notes. Also, Twitter, it just Courtney Taylor?
Yep.
Yep. And Facebook, just look up Courtney Taylor. Facebook is kind of funny with the links. Check her out in Dawnstar as well as Dawngate.
I do it too. It's Wildstar and Dawngate.
Wildstar and Dawngate. Sorry about that. And we're gonna say about 7 other games coming up that she just can't talk about.
I'll let you know as soon as I can say.
We always inflate the numbers a little bit because you never know.
Well, yeah, and there's a couple of good ones. There's a couple that I'm really excited about. So
awesome. All right. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for spending your time with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful weekend. It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
This has been The Voice Behind, a production of the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode. And for outtakes from this and other episodes, as well as news and commentary from the voice actor community, follow our Twitter feed at twitter.com/thevoicebehind or on Facebook at facebook.com/thevoicebehind. Comments, questions, and suggestions are more than welcome at voice@fancypantsgangsters.com. Thanks so much for listening.